Hear these words from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be enrolled, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. While they were there, the time came for her to be delivered. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in that region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying which had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary kept all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
By way of catching up, if you haven't been able to be with us this past month leading up to Christmas, as I was telling the kids in worship, we've been reading through the book of Isaiah, considering some of these strange and unique gifts that God gives us. In Isaiah 2, we're told about a day when we will beat swords into plowshares. On that day, we'll trust God's protection and not need to raise arms against each other. In Isaiah 11, we read about a shoot breaking forth from the stump of Jesse, that God draws new life out for us, even when we feel cut off. In chapter 35, we heard the promise of a river that will bring flourishing to even the most dry and withered parts of the deserts of our world and in our lives. And finally, 2 days ago, we read in chapter 7 about the gift of a child, that his life would be a sign for us that our faith is not in vain. Now, these are unusual gifts, dare I even say weird. The theologian Will Willimon wrote, "This is often the way God loves us, with gifts we thought we didn't need, which transform us into people we don't necessarily want to be." But as we've examined them closer, we've not only found their great value, but our great need of them. Now, when it comes to gifts, there really are only two directions they flow. You give them or you receive them. How you do those two things says a lot about your character. As every parent in the room knows and probably shares with me, my nightmare scenario of Christmas morning is a crying, ungrateful child sitting next to the tree, preferably not at your in-laws' house, going on, "I didn't want this one." But even the gifts that you choose to give can reveal things about you. Gifts chosen well can reflect your priorities and your hopes for the people that you give them to. We've seen that at work all Advent here. Through the gifts that we've been receiving, God has obviously investing himself in making a new peaceful kingdom, in growing life, in transforming the world around us, and helping us to establish deep roots in our faith. This self-revealing is what our text is all about tonight. It's what the incarnation, it's what Christmas is all about. And Jesus will spend his life helping us to know the Father better. Every act, parable, teaching, and healing articulates in some way who God is and reveals his great love for us. That's just consistently Jesus all through the Gospels. It's who the Spirit continues to teach us that he is. But here, in the birth story, Jesus doesn't do much. He's terribly passive, isn't he? He gets born, and he gets visited, and that's about it. Now, I think the Nativity tells us something important about God, but before that, we notice this whole cast of characters that Luke has for us. Mary and Joseph, Joseph's extended family, shepherds and angels, and eventually everyone in Bethlehem whom the shepherds wake with their carrying on in verse 20. Now, we don't get a big, multifaceted picture of Jesus, but we do get a case study in Mary in how to receive the gift that he is. The first third of our text is all about the birth, setting the stage for us and giving us just a taste of how complicated it all was. Any woman who has born a child can tell you how difficult the birthing process can be. And as if having to carry a child to term and give birth wasn't enough, Mary has to travel on an animal while very, very pregnant for her husband's, or fiancé's even, legal obligations, only to find that she'll be staying and giving birth in a livestock pen. I don't know if I can imagine a more awful set of circumstances for a to-be mother. We're accustomed to artists' renditions of a very calm and composed, serene Mary. And I'm confident that she was a heck of a girl. But it's entirely normal to think that here in our text, she's frustrated and exhausted and in pain. And all of that's even before she gives birth. Pushing on in our text, while Mary is understandably wiped, the shepherds are understandably terrified as the sky around them explodes with light and sound, and it seems like a small village of singing, glowing angels. Mary has done the bulk of the receiving work, but as the shepherds are told, the good news of great joy is for all people. God has done something strange and unique and fantastic right here in their community. It's not just that some baby was unfortunate enough to be born where animals eat and sleep. It's that that baby is the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. That's the kind of news that can turn terror on a dime into celebration. Getting the gift here has been costly, but with recognition of the gift's inherent value comes earnest joy. And the shepherds abandon their flocks to come see this thing that has taken place, the text tells us. Receiving gifts can be taxing, but thankfully, most of us won't have to work as hard as Mary must have to be in a good news, to be in a good mood when Christmas company starts arriving. But as she hears what the shepherds share, I imagine that her stress begins to dissolve. And everyone around her is amazed at what has happened out in the field. But for Mary, this baby becomes more than just a promise, more than just a baby even, but a treasure. Something she begins to hold all of these things in her heart. And we've gotten a bunch of gifts all Advent, and you'll likely get a small pile more soon. And just getting a gift says in some way that you are loved. But what if that gift means more than just that? Jesus does. And plows, plants, rivers, and children are fine, wonderful things, but the gift of Jesus means quite a bit more. He's the promised peace that's anticipated. He's the new life, the satisfaction, the present presence of God. God sent Jesus because more than anything else, he wants to be with us. And that's what we learn about God through his gift giving. And it's taken some doing, but he's pulled it off because he thinks that you're worth it. And that's the gift that matters this Christmas more than any other. And I hope that we don't lose sight of that at any point. But if we do, like Mary, we too can recover the joy of meeting Jesus and learn to treasure him again. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.